Good morning. Welcome to Cross Life Bible Church. I'm so glad you're here today. What a week. What a week. Are you hot, Loretta? Loretta's already warming up this morning. Okay. I know. You know, what's the temperature going to be in heaven? Because anybody that works a thermostat in a church knows, no matter where you sit it, set that thing, someone's going to be either hot or cold, right? Yeah, I tell you. Everybody will have their own. I tell you what a week. I'm so thankful you're here. I missed some folks last week. You were away and you're back this week, and that does my heart glad. And some folks are sick this week, and I got something heavy on my heart this morning I'm going to share with you. It's one of those, what was it? Was it Tuesday? I got a phone call early in the morning from my dad, and my dad told me that he asked me to go to the hospital and Hagerstown, because my brother Mark, who's a quadriplegic, something was off. So he goes, and I spent pretty much all day Tuesday with my brother. At the end of the day, then later he called me and said, now he's got COVID. Well, guess what? He has COVID. My stepmom has COVID. My brother has COVID. My father hasn't been diagnosed yet, but guess what? Guess who was going to be here next week? They can't come next week. So anyway, so I'm letting you know, but pray for my family. They're doing better. They're not real sick, but they're very uncomfortable. And so pray about that. But here's another thing that was thrown into works. My stepmother called me. Why do I always get these phone calls, by the way? You know, we've been raising money to get a van for my brother Mark. He's a wheelchair accessible van. When he was younger, we were all strong enough where we would actually pick him up if we had to and put him where he needed to be. Where we're all at the age now where it's hard for him to go from this. So he's been trying to raise money for a handicapped van. Well, they found one out in Louisville, Kentucky. And I just had enough points on my Southwest card where I could fly out and only pay like $5.60. So tomorrow night, I'll be flying out to Louisville, Kentucky, getting up early on Tuesday morning, hopping in the van and driving back. So anyway, so they got the van. So that's a good thing. But pray for me while I'm on the road, and I'd appreciate that. So that's what's going on in my life this week. And I know you got your things. But I'm so glad you're here at Cross Life today, because guess what we're going to do today? We have a very special day. We're going to do this week just what we did last week and the week before. We're here to worship. We're here to fellowship. But all of this is in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You realize that? And we have a special guest today that I am very excited about, because today is, did you know it's Law Enforcement Appreciation Day in churches? This is the American Family Association sent out this mass email a while back and said, please, will you just take time on this day and pray for the law enforcement? And you know, with all this happening in the world today, do you realize the church, we should be the greatest example of how to deal with these situations and show the world how it really works? Right? And so we're going to have a taste of that today. But we have Candace with us today, and she has that French last name, and I always mess it up. Rampsour. Okay, that's French. So Candace, I'm so glad you're here today, and you're going to come up in a little bit and share a testimony. But before that, Michael's going to come up, and he's going to lead us in our first song, and you can stand up. This is I Must Tell Jesus. I Must Tell Jesus.
I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus. Jesus alone. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask him, he will deliver. Make of my troubles quickly an end. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and he will help me. Over the world, the victory to win. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone.
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for this morning. I thank you so much that we have a reason to congregate this morning, just as we did last week and a week before. And Lord, we love you so much. We love you. We love your word. We love your people. Lord, we do love this place. But Lord, the love that we have for this place is nothing to be compared to our love for you. And Lord, you have done so much for us. So we come before you humbly and at the same time very grateful this morning. I thank you that you have torn the veil in two, and we can enter your presence with confidence, not arrogance, because you say you listen and you truly do care. So we do cast all of our cares on you because you care for us. We love you because you first loved us. We have fallen short of your glory, but Lord, we thank you so much that you loved us. You gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Thank you, Lord. I pray this morning for Miss Martha's family, who is grieving this morning as she went home to be with you this week, just yesterday at 3 o'clock. I pray, Lord, for the family. And Lord, just pray for Beth there at Ridge Overlook and for the leaders there and for the residents. Lord, we're just reminded everywhere we turn that we need you every second of every minute of every day. Lord, I thank you for Cross Life Bible Church, for bringing us into existence so that we could follow you and fulfill your will, Lord, as you commissioned us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and know you're with us even to the end of the age. We thank you for the missionaries around this world that we get to support. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we pray now. I think of each and every individual here, those who couldn't be here this morning. And as I consider this family and friends and those who are visiting today, Lord, I ask for your blessing upon this service as we unite together and lift up our voices in song and prayer and even in message and testimony. We lift all these up before your throne, and our desire is that you would be pleased. And we give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. You can be seated, and as you're seated, the call to worship is taken from Psalm 66, 1 through 3, where it says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all the earth. All the earth. All the earth. Sing out the honor of his name. And as you read the Psalms, always remember, you'll read the psalmist, especially David, and he would start off, and he always gives an invitation. He'll start off with his, sometimes with his sorrow. And then he'll turn his sorrow into praise. And then what he does, he says, come and join me. And that's what this, he goes, hey, look, come and join me. Make his praise glorious. And look, he even tells us what to say. And this is what you say to God. How awesome are your works? And that word there is an interesting word in the Hebrew language. That's when you just stand in awe of something. You stand in awe of something. Michael Mangieri this week, he posted a picture on his Facebook. If you haven't seen it, go on his Facebook. It's a picture that he took of deep space, and it's awesome. He's just showing a picture of the heavens declaring the glory of God. That's all he posted. But when you just look at that photo, it's like, wow. How awesome are your works through the greatness of your power. Your enemies, I love this. Your enemies, what are they going to do? There's a day coming. They're going to submit themselves. We're all going to, right? We're doing that this morning. And that's why we put out an invitation. But one day, even the enemies, they're going to bow their knee. It's coming. I promise you. So Michael's going to lead us now in this sweet prayer. This sweet, actually it is a prayer. It's a song of prayer. But this sweet hour of prayer. Gifts and the offering. And let me ask you a question. Just this is in my mind. I was talking to Chris. Chris is the treasurer here. And we put that box in the back, you know, because everything that was happening. And I said, ask him this week, I said, Chris, should we leave that box in the back or should we go back to passing the offering plate? And he didn't know what to say. I don't know. But for right now, we're just going to leave it in the back because you know what? I have, through this whole COVID thing, I've never had to ask you. I've never had to remind you about the offerings. And I thank you for that. That reveals your heart and where your heart is. And I appreciate that very much.
Bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the mercies and the blessings you bestow upon us each and every day, each and every moment. Lord, as I look around the church today and see how packed it is, we're just ever thankful, Lord, that those who would come out, that they would be here to honor and praise you, that they would be here to get the message that the pastor would be giving. They would take it home with them and use it throughout this week. They would be better equipped to walk closer and closer with you and to you. Lord, at this time, we just ask of all the things that you've given to us, the prosperity that you give to us, of the materials that you give to us, of the resources and money that you allow us to have. Lord, that we would now take the time through our hearts as you see fit in each and every one to give back a little portion of that which you've bestowed upon us, to continue the work of this ministry at this church, not with a grudging heart, but with a thankful heart, and that we would do so to praise and honor you even more. In these things we pray, In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
This time it's my privilege to welcome the Cross Lake Bible Church, Candace, once again. And Candace, you can come up, and I just want to share a little bit from my heart and even my gratitude in regards to what Candace is going to share. And Candace is a police officer in Montgomery County, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And Loretta was sharing her even a long time ago. You know, she was talking about her kids, right? And I went over and had a meal at your brother's house, Kyle, who was a police officer at one time, correct?
Right.
And I have a nephew who worked for the sheriff's department here in town. But here's something that the Lord has brought to my attention on many occasions as I have had relationships with those who serve, you know, to serve and protect in that field. Several times in my life, I've had police officers, even those who are retired today, share this with me. This is how a pastor can pray for police officers that we know, because they see so much. They see the bad in people all the time, right? They see the worst of people. Do you think that does something to a police officer? And I have had one gentleman in particular share with me a long time ago. He actually retired when something happened in his life, and it shocked him that he had no feelings. Like, he's always, it hit me like something happened. I knew I had to step out of that world. And anyway, and I never forgot that. And even when I was in Indiana, a gentleman came to me, and he got to the point. He got to the point where he was rescuing a little girl, and she ended up not making it. And he had to quit the force over that. And it was so bad that what he did, I have it in my possession. He brought one day a bullet and handed it to me and said, "This is the bullet that was in my gun when I tried to take my life. When I pulled the trigger, it didn't go off." So those things like that, when I pray, folks, in your situation, you know, you never know what someone else is going through unless you walk in their shoes. So, Candace, I want you to share with us a little bit of your testimony, but also how can we as a congregation keep lifting, especially in these days, right? So go ahead and share, Candace, with the word puts on your heart.
I'm going to try not to ramble, so I got some notes. Okay, so first of all, I want to thank you guys for letting me come here and speak. This is awesome, and this is a wonderful church. Reminds me of the church I grew up in. So about me, I was born in Maryland. I've lived here for all but about 8 years of my life. I lived in South Korea for about 8 years. I was an English teacher, and then I went to grad school, and then I decided to come back. Once I got back, I jumped through a couple of different jobs trying to figure out what I really wanted to do, but in the back of my mind, I always knew that I wanted to help people, and I wanted to do it on the front lines. Like, I didn't want to raise money or write letters. I wanted to actually enact the change myself. So after talking to my twin brother, who was at the time an officer in Prince George's County, I decided to apply to be a police officer. And we promised we would never work at the same place, so there's no way I was considering PG. So Montgomery County came through first, and that was in 2017. I finished the academy in 2018, and I've been on the road in Silver Spring since then. Being an officer is hard enough, but I work midnights. So I get all of it. As much as I enjoy my job, it is very taxing. And like Pastor Merson said, there's a lot of trauma. People often wonder, like, why are officers so angry? Why is this person smiling? Why do they, like, that officer was so rude to me. You know what? That officer has probably seen more in a work week than you will see in a few years. And they still have to go home and be that family man or that family woman. They still have to be a member of the community. So that's one thing you guys can really pray for, is that people would remember that at the end of the day, this is just a job and we're still human. Like, what we see affects us. Like, no one should be able to walk up to a scene with someone dead or dying and be okay. People forget that. Part of what's really difficult about Silver Spring is there is a very large homeless population, and there is a very large mentally unwell population. And it's really hard for us as officers to deal with it because people want us to do everything. We are the peacekeepers. We are the referees for the family disputes. People want us to parent because they call and say, my kid won't do their homework. Make them be respectful. I'm not kidding. We get calls like that. They want us to be the mental health counselors. They want us to be their ride. We get calls and it's like, well, I want you to arrest me so I can get out of here. You really want to go to jail instead of taking the bus? Yes. And she proceeded to smash a window, so I had to arrest her and take her to jail. So this is the kind of stuff that we're dealing with. So the job is not cut and dry at all. So, like, especially in the last year or two, watching what's portrayed in the media is really hard. Because you're not even seeing a fraction of a fraction of what goes on. I mean, and you see the memes online where it's like, okay, if you want to second guess a play in a football game, you've got 98 HD cameras, you've got slow-mo, you've got experts. But if you want to second guess what a police officer does in a life and death situation, you look at 10 seconds from a cell phone clip. We have body cameras, but they don't catch everything. There are things that you can see and hear and smell and sense that aren't going to show up on screen. So that's something else you can pray for, is that people would start to look from our perspective and see that we're trying to do the best we can. No one wakes up and says, oh, I want to murder somebody today, or I want to ruin somebody's life. I want to give out 50 traffic tickets. By the way, there is no quota. There's no such thing. We don't do that. We just want to do our jobs. Most of us live near the communities that we work in. And it's because we want to see those communities thrive. We want to see them prosper. That's why we're there. We're not there to hassle people. More importantly, we're only enforcing the laws that have been passed by the people for the people. So stop trying to shoot the messenger, please. All right, so to wrap up, I know, real fast. The biggest thing that you guys can pray for is morale. Right now, we have officers retiring left and right. We have officers quitting. It's actually going around that, you know what, if you're an officer with less than 2 years on and you stay, you are an idiot. Okay? Because honestly, who wants to do a job when your life is on the line? It's thankless. I've had people spit on me just for doing my job. Like, I didn't even start anything. This woman called me to her house because her husband slapped her. So he ended up getting arrested. She goes off on a tirade and spits on me and says all kinds of words that I won't say. But it's like, lady, you called me here to help you. Let me help you. But yeah, we've got, so a couple of academy classes back, there were so many applicants that they had to turn people away. They didn't have enough seats. Our last academy class was 13 officers, and we do not have an academy class now because we did not have enough applicants who want to be officers. So you don't have to worry about, like, cutting staffing because we're going to leave on our own. You can also pray for the officers' families because, naturally, there's a lot more stress on us. And it shows up at home. Like, you can tell that people are unhappy, people are angry, people are bitter. And it sucks to go to a job that you used to love and now you hate. I've only been on the street for about 3 years, and even sometimes I'm like, why am I putting this uniform on? I'm just going to sit in my car and wait to get screamed at. I don't get paid enough for that. Pray for strength, physical, mental, and spiritual. And pray for more officers of quality. What's happening now is a lot of places are lowering their requirements so they can try and get officers in, and that's going to create a really bad cycle. And when you scrape the bottom of the barrel, you're going to get crap. It's true. So, again, thank you guys. And yes, I know I didn't talk about the race and this, that, and the other, because I could rant about that for hours. Just know that we want to help. And we get the whole thing about, oh, you're being discriminatory, da-da-da-da. No, we're not. Are there bad officers? Sure. There are bad people in every profession. But you have to understand that the majority of us are good and the majority of us want to help. Okay, we're all humans. We are all sharing the same space. Like, I don't want to have to fight you because tomorrow I might need your help. Okie dokie.
Let me ask Candace one question, and the board members are going to come up, and we're going to surround her and pray for her in just a second. But how does your faith strengthen, give you strength as a police officer?
It keeps me going. It really does. Like, there are times I sit in my cruiser and I'm just like, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? And then I remember the most important part of my favorite verse, here am I, send me. I'm going to go because who else is going to go? Why am I going to ask somebody else to do it? I'm going to do it. So I have to rely on God to give me the strength to keep doing it.
You're right. Very good. Very good. So, well, I have something. As you guys come forward, I have something down here I need to get. This is for my wife.
Aww.
Here's the thing. Your mom told me you do not like pink. Do you know how hard it is to shop for flowers with no pink?
You did a wonderful job.
Okay. So this is from all of us to you. And at this time, we just want to stand here and come over here, Mike. We're going to surround Candace. And I'm going to say a word of prayer. And this prayer is actually... the American Family Association put together this prayer, actually, and the words are so good in the meaning behind it, the motive behind it. And I just want us to bow our head. I'm going to share this prayer. It's a prayer for law enforcement and as we share our appreciation. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for Candace. I thank you what she just said, the importance of her faith. And even as a Christian, Lord, we know what it's like to be in a place where because of some bad apples, Lord, that Christians are looked at as just being out of touch. And Lord, we have heard some of the same complaints against us. Because as Candace just so eloquently shared, in all fields, there are some bad people. And Satan, the father of lies, he has his cohorts in every field. And Lord, we know what it looks like to have a real shepherd compared to the hireling. And when trouble comes, the hireling takes off. The shepherd that's called stands up for what is right, even when times are tough. So we claim those same words this morning. Here we are, Lord, send us. Just as Isaiah said, even as he was confronted with your holiness. And Lord, we have unclean lips. But because of your grace and the blood of Jesus, we've been changed. So Lord, this morning I pray for our nation. I pray for law enforcement. We come before you today. We are grieved over the division in our land. We grieve for every life lost, for whatever reason, violence. And regardless of color or creed, Lord, we come before you now realizing you have the answer. We especially grieve this day over the senseless deaths of so many, even law enforcement officers just doing their job, whose sworn duty is to protect us from harm and to serve the communities they've been called to. We pray for comfort and hope. We know from Romans 13 that they have a sacred task to enforce laws and protect the innocent and punish the guilty. We pray, Lord, that you will protect them as they serve. Give them wisdom, discernment, and a deep desire to serve you and surround every law enforcement in our land with the battalions, Lord, of your servants, of your messengers. Protect them from harm as you protect us from harm, Lord. Put your hedge of protection around us. We stand together in the powerful and mighty name of Jesus against every work of the enemy. May the enemy's power be thwarted in your name.
and his plans exposed by your light. We know that your word teaches us that in you there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female. All superficial distinctions between us have been abolished by your work on the cross, by your grace and power. Lead us into a new day of harmony. And Lord, we do lift up your name. We know, Lord, the reality until you come and straighten things out. It's going to be a constant battle. And we do pray for your kingdom to come and your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. But renew in us the right spirit, the right mind, the right heart, that we may be one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Candace, so much.
Thank you much.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Let's all stand, please. Our third hymn this morning, God Will, He Will Take Care of You.
Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Though every day or all the way, He will take care of you. God will take care of you. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean weary one upon His breast, God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Every day or all the way, He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
You all be seated, please.
Rich is going to come up and help me sing a song this morning, and we need to remember Carolyn in our prayers. She went back to the hospital this week, and I think it was, what was it, when was she in the hospital, Paul?
On Friday.
And she went back to the ER, and her back has a bulging disc, right? She has a slip disc, and... Anyway, I miss her. And she helps, she actually still selects a song. She wrote me the sweetest email the other night. She says, I can't be there again this Sunday, but as long as you allow me, she loves choosing the songs. And she said, thank God for the streaming. So anyway, I miss her. Because if she was here, I would have already been asking her a couple questions. And I'd have had her sing this song with me today. So I got to settle for Rick. Now, Rick knows, you know, I love sitting and singing, I love old bluegrass music, and it comes up my voice, so Kathy says, try not to sing like a hillbilly. So, right. But this song today I'm going to tell you a story about the song in here a little bit with my message, but since Jesus came into my heart, doesn't he make all the difference in the world? Yes. Since Jesus came into my heart. Actually, what did I do with the clicker? Okay, right now I'm going to need you to click the slides. I was waiting for that slide to change. It didn't change, so I didn't need you to click her. I'm sorry. But even look at the chorus here, this song. Since Jesus came to my heart, since Jesus came to my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart. I hope that you know Jesus as your Savior today, because he makes all the difference in the world. He really does. And we're going to attempt to sing this song, but we're going to start with the chorus, and then we're going to go into it. And feel free to sing it with us.
See if I can get going.
Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Jesus came into my heart. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul, for which long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Like the sea billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart, I have ceased from my wandering, going astray. Since Jesus came into my heart, my sins which were many are washed much away. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I shall know very well in that city I know. Since Jesus came into my heart, 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 floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart,
but take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 3. I'm excited. Just want to share this message with you. It's so relevant, and as all Scripture is, and I've been going through Ephesians and find chapter 3. What I want to do, I want us to stand one last time before the message. I want to read to you Ephesians 3, starting at verse 12. So if you could stand with me out of respect for the Scriptures and in respect for our Lord, I just want to read
from verse 12 on to the end of the chapter, where it says this, "And in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. Therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." And dear gracious Heavenly Father, we ask now upon your blessing upon the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. And as I just shared that song with you, since Jesus came into my heart, that in most hymn books, that song is actually includes three verses. But really, there's five verses to that song. And one verse that we don't sing normally, it says this: "I'm possessed of a hope that is steadfast and sure since Jesus came into my heart. And no dark clouds of doubt now my pathway obscure since Jesus came into my heart." And then the other verse goes like this: "There's a light in the valley of death now for me." I love that. There's a light in the valley of death now for me, since Jesus came into my heart. "The gates of the city beyond I can see, since Jesus came into my heart." The gentleman that wrote this, I'm going to show his picture here. It's Rufus Henry McDaniel. Now, Rufus McDaniel, he, even as a teenager, of course, back when he was living, back in the late 1800s, you do realize the term teenager is a relatively new term. They didn't use that term back in the 1800s or even early 1900s. Because back when he was growing up, your parents treated like you were a grown-up when you were what we call a teenager, because they gave you a responsibility, right? And so at age 19, he was already a preacher. Age 19. Got married and he had some children, but then something happened in his life. He lost one of his children. And for a year, Mr. McDaniel grieved. And part of that grieving process, he took out his pen, he'd write poetry. And he wrote a poem called "Since Jesus Came Into My Heart." And when he wrote this song, if you looked in your hymn book, a man named Mr. Gabriel, he put music to it. But what he did was he ended up sending those poems to Philadelphia. There in Philadelphia, and actually he never heard back from Mr. Gabriel. He says, "Here's some poems," and was wondering if they could be, he never heard back. But all of a sudden, one day, he finds out something. And Mr. Gabriel put music to that song, "Since Jesus Came to My Heart." And guess who he knew personally was this man named Billy Sunday. And Billy Sunday, he would travel around and preach these revival services, these crusades. And in Philadelphia, he had a crusade, and that became one of the lead songs of the Billy Graham crusade. And there was a police officer. Let me see if I can find this police officer's name there. Let's see here. Officer Fowler. Here it is. Officer Fowler of the Philadelphia Police Department went to one of those meetings and received Christ as a Savior. And so he went back on the streets and started inviting all his fellow officers to come hear Billy Sunday preach.
Well, because of that song, it was God used that in the life of Officer Fowler as it was sung to prick his heart with the Word of God. It was reported that over 100 police officers in Philadelphia went to the revival and put their faith and trust in Christ also. But when you read the words, it makes sense. When you sing these songs and know the story behind it here, that you're the light in that valley. He does make all the difference. We are to be different. Even this week, some of you were here when I got a phone call. We are at our workshop here on Thursday night, and here my phone was buzzing in my pocket. And finally, I just said, I'm sorry. Would you mind if I answer my phone? There must be an emergency or something, because someone keeps ringing my phone. So I took it out, and I got a phone call from Ridge Overlook, where Miss Martha, those of you who go to Ridge Overlook with me, remember Miss Martha would always carry that little baby doll? Always. She would always be with that little baby doll. I've never known Miss Martha without Alzheimer's. Remember that. But she would go, and she would sit next, even during Christmas last year, back when COVID hit, I would be the only one going over there, and I'd stand, and Miss Martha would come over there, and she would drop stuff, and I'd help her pick it up, and she was always talking and carrying stuff around and playing with these big Legos and things. Well, here this Thursday night, I get the phone call, would you mind coming? Miss Martha, she's on her way out. Actually, they said, can you come read her last rites and all that stuff? And I said, well, let me go over and see what I can do. And the family was all there, and it was a big family. They were from Florida, Montana, Virginia, and they all gathered around the bed. I didn't go there to read any last rites. I opened up Psalm 23, and I preached a message from Psalm 23 to the family, talking about that light in the valley. And for the first time, I got to hear about Miss Martha's life pre-Alzheimer's. And then it made sense why Grandma always carried a little baby doll, because that room was full of grandkids and kids, and Grandma already always had a little baby on her hip. That's what they said. Always had that baby on her hip. She even started looking for a baby and realized she's holding the baby. That's what they would say. So I had the privilege of Thursday night. I got a call just yesterday. The family called me and said, "Miss, she finally, thank you so much. The peace that was in that room, just, but you know, guess what? All I do as a pastor, I just go and keep pointing people to Jesus and sharing the Word of God. It's so powerful. Jesus makes all the difference. And that's what Paul was saying here in his text. As you look at Ephesians chapter 3, look at verse 12. Now, this is a continuation where we left off last week. And you know, as we get back look ahead where we left off last week there in verse 11, it says, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ our Lord. And we had just seen the plan of God, how and the preacher of God, where Paul has been called to share this mystery called the church. And there's a difference between Israel and the church. He goes, and I'm a minister of this dispensation. And so here he works up to verse 12 and he says, this is all part of God's plan. It's an eternal plan. This wasn't anything new to God. It's new to us. But then he says in verse 12, in whom we have boldness, pointing back to the Lord. But notice what he says, because here's a privilege I want you to notice in this verse. Notice the privilege. In whom we have boldness and what? Do you understand how privileged we really are as believers to be able to enter the throne room with confidence and boldness? This is not arrogance. This is not arrogance. What God is telling, letting you and I know, it's okay to come in. You come on in, you tell me. You've got my ear. And we can do that with confidence. But it's through what? Through faith in Jesus. I still don't think, you know, even the when you think of our, we're going to get into the prayer in just a little bit, but that's what Paul's leading into. The privilege that you and I have to have access to the throne room of God. I don't know if you've ever been in a place where you had to have a special badge or some kind of special, something special to even get into a certain area.
probably the thing I remember in my life. I've been down to the Capitol building, was allowed to go into some offices because someone gave me an invitation, and I was there with a pastor friend who opened up Congress and prayer that day, and I got to go in different offices and meet a lot of people that we see on the news, and that was interesting. But even beyond that, I remember this. I was a youth pastor one time, and a friend of mine, he was a youth pastor within NASCAR. Now you're talking, right? He says, come on down to the, he invited me to Dover and stand on top of the ministry there where Joe Gibbs is part of this ministry, this outreach ministry. And they had me come in and they gave me this special VIP pass. And I got to go in the special gate where all the RVs are parked. And I walked around and they said, here's the one condition. Don't ask for any autographs. This is a sacred place. When you go back behind this fence, this is where they're getting away from that stuff. And there I was, you know, there with people I would see, and you know, Dale Earnhardt Jr. is over here, and they would take the lug nuts off the car, and as they were taking off, I was walking up picking up lug nuts with a little marker writing names on whose lug nut was what, right? I was awestruck. Now, if some of you are in the NASCAR, so you have no idea what I'm talking about, but I went back and I passed out those lug nuts to friends who rooted for those drivers. But that's NASCAR. Think of heaven. Think of the privilege we have to go before God. And we can go there with all the confidence in the world only because of Jesus, because of our faith in Him. But notice where he ties this. He says, because Paul says, therefore, since we can even do this. So when Paul's writing, everything is connected. He goes, therefore, I ask that you what? Since we have this confidence and this boldness, do you know what he's writing the church? He says, therefore, I ask you, do not lose what? Don't lose heart. And this morning, I don't want you to lose heart. I think many have already lost heart. And my dad would say, don't give up. That's the first step of giving up, is losing heart. Giving up. Don't give up. Don't give up. But listen to what Paul says. Don't lose heart at what? Now listen, Paul had been a prisoner for 5 years. He's been in chains. He's writing to the church of Ephesus while he's in chains. Now don't lose heart at my tribulations because of what I'm going through. But there's something he says in this verse that is so interesting to me. He goes, don't lose heart for you. Right? We already talked about that. He was going through this. He was a prisoner of Jesus Christ for other people. But then he says, now it's very important that you do not insert a certain word in that last phrase. Which is what? Which is your glory. Now, don't ever put the word for in there, which is for your glory, because that's what men have a tendency to do, which is for your... No. Everything Paul did was for the glory of the Lord. That makes a big difference, doesn't it? But which is your glory? Do you realize that as you and I serve together and we go through these tribulations together, we get to honor the Lord together, and the Lord recognizes, and it's part of the privilege we have to come before Him and cast our care on Him. It's all part of us joining together, giving Him glory, which He recognizes. And that is an honor. That's an honor. And then he moves on, he says, but notice yet personal care that Paul has. And I'm so thankful that God has given me a heart and ears to hear that where I genuinely am concerned and I have a care for people. I really do. I meet people, and some of you are not like this. I know this. Being a pastor, a pastor's heart, part of that is meeting a stranger and caring for him. I know everyone. I had a pastor friend tell me one time, even he didn't. He said, how can you, because I asked him, when I'm standing at McDonald's about to order something, you know, off the menu, I said, you know what, I can't help but wonder about the guy next to me, whether he's even a believer or not. Yeah, I said, you ever feel that way? This was a pastor telling me, he goes, you know what, I really struggle with that. And that's why this is important. This is connected as we have the privilege.
We have that personal care. And here's the prayer that Paul prayed for this church. Notice there's so much in these few verses. But notice this prayer. He says this in verse 14. For this reason. Well, for what reason? He's going through tribulations. He didn't want them to lose heart, right? And for this reason, I don't want you to lose heart. And for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. It's his glory, see? To be strengthened with might through his spirit and inner man. Let's break this down a little easier. First of all, just notice the position that Paul puts himself in. For this reason, I do what? Now listen to me, I bow my knees. Now I know when you pray every time, if you're like me, you are not always bending your knee. But I promise you this, there are times I'm in my truck and I'm driving, I'm praying. I'm always praying. And you know, thinking of people, and I learned this a long time ago, is God brings your folks' names to my mind, that's the moment to pray for them, right? But I can promise you this, whenever there's something that is so heavy, there's times when driving to pick up and praying doesn't cut it. I have to drop to my knees. There are times, and you think about those times when you bend your knee, aren't they the moments of tribulation, right? Let's stop right now and let's go on our knees. I'll never forget when I was up in Pennsylvania, when I was a youth pastor, and we went around doing Christmas caroling, and there was a lady in her 90s, and she was living literally on Ensure. That was the only thing she drank, these little cans of Ensure. Her son would come over and pray with me, and here we went to her house. Can you come over to mom's house and sing? And that one Christmas song, I can't think of the title of it right now, but she requested that song, and in that line, that Christmas song, when it says, I fall on my knees, that lady literally went to her knees. And she couldn't get up. I'm the youth pastor. I walked over and grabbed her by the hand. And as I helped her up, she looked at me and goes, I don't know why I did that. I said, I know why you did that. Because that woman had a love for her Lord. And when she was so into listening to that psalm, when it talked about dropping, she went down on her knees, right? As an act of worship. I bow my knees. So that even the position is important to point out. But also, how about the personal relationship that Paul points out? For this reason, I bow my knees to who? Who are we bowing our knees to when we pray? Always remember, when you pray theologically, now I hear people pray to Jesus all the time. But really, let me explain something to you. When we pray, do you know that we don't pray to Jesus? We pray to God the Father through Jesus, and the Holy Spirit helps us, right? We pray to God, and that's why we only pray through Jesus' name, because without Jesus, we can't get to God. That's why I said you pray in my name. You pray according to God's will, and he'll answer your prayers. If it's according to his will, and it's in Jesus' name, but we actually pray to who? To the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul loved to use this term about Jesus because the Lord reflects what? It's his position in our life. He's Lord. That's not his first, middle, and last name. He's Lord of my life. Jesus is that personal relationship. Christ reminds us of the promised one, right? And you put those together. He's Lord of my life. He's Jesus who came and died for me because God promised the Messiah, the Christos. Back in Genesis 3:15, after we messed up. But for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the same Father of Jesus is what? He's my Heavenly Father. From whom the what? This is very important. What family? It is the whole family. Now, he prayed earlier in Ephesians chapter 1. He didn't include the whole family. He said in Ephesians 1:16, he says, I do not cease to give thanks for you. Talking about the church in Ephesus. Now, when he gets to Ephesians 3, now he's going to bring the whole family together. See, he just mentioned in last week's message how the church, we minister right to folks here on this side, and even the angels are watching. Right? The principalities that are above now. But this whole family in heaven and earth. Now he's bringing us both together. For whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. The Father. He's the head of us all. the whole family. Loretta, I need you to come up here for a minute. The whole family. Remember I said earlier today that the church, we are the key. We have the key. Even Jesus told Peter, you have the key, right? And we have the key right here. This is where we find the key. We have the answer. And right now, there are people, the enemy is working so hard to divide us over everything. They want me and Loretta not to love each other because we look different. She has a better tan than I do. Right?
Permatan, thank you.
Permatan, right? We're not going to let that happen. And if we take Scripture serious, what is the answer to this? Now when I was at your son's house, mm-hmm. Kyle's house, and which is what, Kristen. Kyle is a very, we need to have Kyle come and preach someday. Kyle is a very passionate speaker. He went out of Texas not too long ago and spoke to a lot of youth. And when he shared the message with me, he was on fire sitting at his table and just, very passionate. But then he shared something with me that just sparked my interest. And it's something that I heard in the news, not from Kyle, but when he shared it, I dug deeper and I said, I need to get Loretta to educate us a little bit because you're going to hear about it this week. And I'm going to warn you. There are some things in our culture that you hear come through the fake news that just to stir us up. But there are other things that when you hear it, there's some good things that's going to help you be a better witness for Jesus. And you can use even this week as a tool to witness to your unbelieving family and friends because here's what Kyle said. Now, when was he talking about your birthday first? He said, you're born on what day?
September 22nd.
Which was what? The day of? He said, my mom was born on September 22nd, which was historically, what happened on your birthday?
That is that's the day of the proclamation.
Emancipation Proclamation.
Yes.
Well, Abraham Lincoln had his Emancipation Proclamation.
But
then he says, my daughter was born on June 19th, which is this Saturday. And he used this term that I had heard, but I didn't know a whole lot about it until I went and did my homework. And I said, I need Loretta to share with Cross Lake Bible Church about this. He used the term Juneteenth. She was born on Juneteenth. And he was excited about it. Can you tell us what Juneteenth is? Because where did he learn it?
Well, he likes history and he studies a lot. Juneteenth is a mashup of June 19th. And Abraham Lincoln actually read the Emancipation Proclamation on January 1st, 1863. But rebellious state Texas, they did not really enact it, or should I say, until General Gordon went to Galveston, Texas. And that was like 2 years later that he took the soldiers there so that they could enforce that proclamation. The slaves didn't know they were free. 2 years had passed. So Juneteenth is a big annual celebration of that freedom. And it's just about time that everybody gets on the same page and act like they're free. Especially, mentally and emotionally free. The chains have been gone for so long. But now it's time to be free in Jesus.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. And Loretta, I read about the battles that took place trying to keep that general from making it to Texas to make that announcement. And when he made it there and made that announcement and people heard that they were free, the celebration broke out. They realized that they were free. And that's exactly how I want to tie it in. That's what Paul's doing in this text. He's saying, we are so privileged. We've been set free. But Christians were still living like they're in bondage. Because you even had from all angles, you had the Judaizers. Like, no, come back over here. We still need to do these things. Paul said no, and he's actually very upset about it. And so for this, we are part of this family of God in heaven and earth, and we're named. It's all about Him. That's why I shared last week. Be careful. We don't follow anyone blindly. When you go back to even where we base our belief in human government, I use the term human accountability because that human accountability was not to men. We were told to hold each other accountable because after Noah, he says, when someone takes another man's life and they are created in my image, you hold them what? You hold them accountable. So even behind the government, we are to hold each other accountable in the name of the Father, right? That's why we are troublemakers. We know this. It sets us free. And in every single, you cannot find a group of people on this planet that has ever gone down the road of socialism and communism that did not take this away and try to shut this up of people who believe like you and me. So why do you think today is any different? Please, you be careful. And we need to use old Carl McIntyre out of New Jersey years ago, old-time Presbyterian preacher, he would say, we need to use our freedom to defend our freedom. Because he even said, one day, you may not have that freedom. But here's the plea. He says, but his plea, he acknowledged something. Look what Paul acknowledged. He says, first of all, here's what I cry out to you for, Father. That God would grant to you according to what? He recognizes two things. He recognizes the need of man and the generosity of God. You see that? That he would grant you something because you need something. But it's according to what? See, Paul knew the secret. Paul knew it wasn't about him. He went to where the riches are truly found. And that's where you and I, when we share the gospel, you can't save a soul no matter how hard you try. All we do is lead them to Jesus. He does the work by grace, through faith, not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. But notice this. Notice what he prays for. Number one, he says, out of his abundant riches, there's where we find the strength. So don't lose heart. And therefore, to not lose heart, don't give up. You need strength. Just like a sick person. My brother was in a hospital bed this week. You know, he was weak. And a sick person needs that strength to be built back up, right? And that's how we are. As we find ourselves in those weak states, we need to be strengthened. But that strength comes from where? See, the spirit. The inner man needs strengthened. And then he says, notice also, we need not only the strength from the spirit, but we need also, don't ever leave the Savior out of the equation. Because even though the Savior, yeah, we're saved through Christ, but we're set apart for Christ. That Christ may dwell where? In your hearts through faith. And that's why we sang the song, right? Since Jesus came into what? That's biblical. Many people say, don't use that term. It's kind of hard to understand. I understand what people are saying when they say it. But here's the thing. When I was a little boy in Sunday school, I remember asking Jesus to come into my heart. That's the term I used. And I was just a little thing. I knew I was a sinner. I was in need of a Savior. And he came into my heart, took away my sin. But that term for dwell, though, it's an interesting word. It means to make a home. That Christ would make a home in your heart. Remember we said we're not a place just for God. We want to be a place of God. We want Christ to dwell in our hearts where he's at home. And it's through what? It's through faith. It's through faith. And Satan knows it. So if he can get your mind off those things and when all the wind and the waves around us and take our eyes off Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, that's where he starts. But no, by faith, I keep my eyes on my Savior. And I've got to be in the Word. And notice this sure foundation. He says that you being rooted and grounded. It's two different words. One, that word for rooted has to do with planting, in your garden. You have your tomato plants right now, and they should be up. They should start to get some blossoms on them. Some probably, I have a couple little tomatoes right now, and most of them they're not going to have blossoms yet. But being rooted. Matter of fact, I was watering my tomato plants last night. I noticed the roots were exposed on one of my plants. So I went over just like you take care of a little baby. I went over and took some dirt and patted around that little plant and was taking care of it. But I was watching those little roots. But it's being rooted and what? And grounded. That grounded is a construction term for that foundation. My dad was even telling me when we started our plants from seeds this year, and he says, be careful when you put those seeds in those little containers. what was the term he used? He called it root bound. You don't want your plants to get root bound. You got to put them in a big enough pot or those little roots will just get all tight. And then you put them in the ground, you want them to spread out, right? Don't get root bound. Let it spread out. But we're rooted and we're grounded. We have a strong, a sure foundation. Back when I did construction work, one thing we had to do was whenever we built up a parking lot or something like that, we better get down to good ground, right? And all of a sudden, you have trucks driving on your new pavement, and next thing you know, you find out where every soft spot is, and guess what you got to do? You come back later with a backhoe, you got to dig all them soft spots out. And you keep going down, so you get down to good ground, dump some gravel in there, put the blacktop on it. You need a sure foundation, and that's what Paul says. He goes, now you be rooted and you be grounded, but here's what we're grounded in. You're grounded in what? In agape love, that sacrificial love. Love is what? What is love? That is one of the most confusing terms that we use in the English language. But just remember this today. I'm not going to expound much on this because it's self-explanatory. But do remember this. There's so much emphasis put on the emotional side of love. But even when you leave this place today, don't forget this week that love is a choice. It is a choice. You choose to love whoever you love. Adam and Eve had a choice to make. You and I have a choice to make. And that's why the greatest commandments are what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And then to do what? And then you love your neighbor, right? As yourself. Be rooted and grounded in love. You know, when Jesus wrote the seven letters to the seven churches in Revelation, the very first letter he wrote was to the church in Ephesus. Because they had left, not lost, they left their first love. Do you know who pastored the church in Ephesus? The Apostle John pastored the church in Ephesus. Do you know he was known as the disciple that Jesus loved? You being rooted and grounded in love. And look what he says. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height of this love. How wide is the love of God? Try to put that down on a piece of paper. I just even wrote my notes. God's love is so wide, and I stopped. I didn't know what to write, right? And then, you know, I don't know what you can put anything at the widest thing you can imagine, right? God, it's so wide. But how long is this love? I can tell you how long it is. It goes all the way into eternity past, all the way into eternity future. Right? How deep is his love? Let me tell you how deep his love is. It's so deep that he left heaven and came down here all the way and went to the grave for me. And even deeper than that, we learn from Paul, right? That's why David said, if I go even to Hades, you are there. How high is his love? Oh, it's so high. Matter of fact, it's high enough right now that he's sitting on the right-hand side of God. That's how high his love is. And he's interceding for me while he's there. He's my advocate. But you know, we learn in Hebrews that he sacrificed and now he's sitting down at the right hand side of God. But you know, we learn in Acts that he doesn't just sit there. Because our brother Stephen, when he was stoned for sharing an awesome message and sharing the gospel and pointing people to Jesus, and they stoned him, the first martyr of the church, Jesus wasn't sitting in that passage. He was standing. As a matter of fact, he was giving Stephen a standing ovation as he entered heaven. Then look what he says here. I love, he says, I pray that they would know the magnitude, God, that you would know the magnitude of the love of God. But then he says this, to know the love of Christ, which what? This is one of those passages that makes me smile because Paul says, I'm praying for something, but you know what? They're never gonna get it. It passes knowledge. You're never going to get your mind around the love that he has for you. That you may be what? That you may be filled. The sufficiency of God is so important for you to get your mind just even around that phrase, to be full of God. What does the fullness of God look like? Let's say God was a 12-year-old boy. What would that look like in a 12-year-old boy? All we got to do is look over at Jesus sitting in that temple. And who was he talking about? To the leaders in the synagogue, pointing Jesus to the Father. When mom and dad come looking for him, what are you doing? Well, I must be about what? I must be about my Father. A 12-year-old boy knew he had purpose in life. And it was about his Father's business. That's what it looks like to be full of God when you're 12. What does it look like to be full of God when you're surrounded by people who need healing, who are depressed, have leprosy, who are lame? Well, the fullness of God has eyes of compassion. And as he preaches, as he heals, as he makes disciples, he's revealing that what it looks like to be full of God. What does it look like when you're in a garden a night before you die on a cross? Lord, not my will, but thine be done. What does it look like as they nail you to a cross, falsely accused? Father, forgive them. They knew not what to do. What does being filled with God look like when they put you in a tomb? Well, the tomb's not going to keep you, right? And then he resurrected. But even the day of his resurrection, here he is walking down the road to Emmaus, witnessing to folks. And then he went and met with the disciples to encourage them. That's the fullness of God. It's all about him. And as we conclude these last two verses, I'm just going to touch on this because we're going to sing. We're going to sing a song in a little bit that is another doxology that many of you have not heard yet that was written years and years ago. But listen to what Paul says as he concludes his thought here. After what he just shared, you can just imagine. Imagine how the Apostle Paul, all of a sudden, he is moved like you and I. And I always wonder, even while you're being inspired by the Holy Spirit, even what he's going through emotionally and spiritually. And even he says, now to him who is what? Notice the ability. He's able to do what? To do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Even though I bow my knee and I pray, he can go way beyond what I'm even asking for. Even way beyond what I'm even thinking. According to the power that works in us. Not just Paul, but in us. He goes way beyond what we ask or think. And he has that ability. And that's why right now we see the world plotting and planning. I'm telling you, he tells us in Proverbs, as Jesus has portrayed his wisdom, here it is. Take it when you can get it, because the day is going to come when you make all your plans and the calamity comes. He goes, do you know, I'll laugh when your calamity comes. Notice the adoration. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations. And how long is this adoration going to take place? This worship is going to be forever and ever. And he's not even done writing a letter yet, and he has to throw an amen in there, right? Amen. The ability, the adoration. So here at Cross Light Bible Church, we come before the one who's able to go way beyond what we can even imagine. That's why I shared a couple weeks ago. I confess many times that even when we have a vision, our vision reflects how big our God is. He's able. And I'm so grateful that every day I get to wake up, confess my weakness, and tap into his strength. To him be glory in the church. But we know it's through Christ Jesus. And since it's to all generations, it just wasn't to the early church. It includes us and the ones to come forever and ever. Amen. Michael, can you come up? And as he comes up, I just want to say a word of prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for this morning. I thank you for your word. I thank you again that as I just reflect on these thoughts, Lord, and just think about your power, your presence, how real it is, and the privilege that we have to come before you even now in this place that we call Cross Life Bible Church here on Old Liberty Road. And we celebrate not just the Old Liberty, Lord, here, but we even think about the liberty, how folks are still in their shackles. And Lord, as we go out and share the gospel with the world, the enemy is real as he tries to keep us from declaring the message, the good news of Jesus, how you came to die for us, that we could be forgiven and be set free. And believers who have been set free, many are still sitting inside the cell, and the door is wide open. For one reason or another, an addiction or whatever it may be, Lord, I pray even now, Lord, as the Apostle Paul declared, freedom in Christ, I declare the same freedom. And I pray, Lord, for the folks in this room and even who may be watching and even the folks we come in contact this week, Lord, help us to see this world as you see this world, the saved and the unsaved. But maybe in this room today there's someone who is just still in bondage. Bondage to sin. Maybe you realize today's the day the Holy Spirit has put on your heart that today's the day of your salvation. You realize that, yes, you have fallen short of God's glory. So I beg you, right there where you're sitting, if the Holy Spirit is tugging on your heart, right there where you're sitting, you can cry out to Him and say, "Dear God, I admit that I have sinned. I have fallen short of Your glory. I admit it. I am a sinner. But I also believe with all of my heart that Jesus died for me, was buried for me, and rose again for me. I believe that with all of my heart. And therefore, this morning, I choose to call on You to save me, to come into my life, take away my sin, bring me into Your family." Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." As we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Lord, I pray for those who are in bondage to sin. Lord, I also pray for those, Lord, who are living like they're in bondage. They've already professed You as their Savior. They proclaim You as their Lord. But Satan has a grip on their lives. They do have the power over sin. And so we proclaim, "You're free." And I pray that they would get into Your Word, spend more time with You on their knees, and allow Your Spirit to do the work that only You can do. Not only think about it, but live like it. Thank You, Lord. Thank You so much. And as we now sing this final song, Lord, we lift up our voices to You. May You be honored and glorified. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
Four and five. I don't know if you have the slide set up to do that.
Yeah, I did. Yes. Okay. 1, 4, 5. Now, Mike, how old is this song? How old is this song?
I have no idea. Older than me. 1551.
Now, notice the music. Notice when the music was written.
Oh, yeah, you're right. The text was 1565, and the music was 1551.
1551.
That was a long time ago.
Well, you know how you go to church?
There were no pianos back then.
Well, here's the thing. Sometimes you go to church and you hope to learn a new song.
It's an old
song.
We're
going to teach you an old song today, okay? which will be a new song, probably, right? Let's all stand.
You'll remember it a little bit from the doxology, Sam, but it's a little different. It's a little slower. The rhythm is a little different, but the words are definitely different. 1, 4, and 5.
All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice, Him serve with fear, His praise forth tell. Come ye before Him and rejoice, for why the Lord our God is good. His mercy is forever sure, His truth at all times firmly stood, and shall from age to age. Son, and Holy Ghost, the God whom heaven and earth adore, from earth and from the angel host, be praise and glory ever.
Amen. Thank you so much, Michael. And Chris is going to come up and pray with us in a little bit. And just next Sunday, Chris is going to start a study back in the fellowship hall. And we say 9:30, but remember this, 9:30 is where the fellowship starts, and we hang out a little bit and drink our coffee, and then we start studying it to cool her up, right? So be here at 9:30 if you can for the fellowship. And what's this study about? You want to come up here and tell us about
this study?
We're going to be learning about the common thread that tracing God's faithfulness from Abraham to us. And it's going to be an eight-week study. It's we got a handout that's a book. And if you want a book, there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer as you come in. And just sign up for that. And we look forward to studying God's Word together for all those who can come. Like I say, be here at 9:30, and we'll start right quarter of 10.
All right. Yeah, sign up sheet in the back. Thank you so much for being here Thursday night at the workshop. I am excited about Vacation Bible School. We had more children sign up this week. Here's the time. We shared this on Thursday night. Now's the push. We've got 4 weeks from VBS, 4 weeks from an event. That's when you start pushing hard. And you can send them to our website, and there's an online registration. And so anyway, and we've got, I think we do have a
couple flyers, but I'm going to put more flyers out. And if you need some, you can come by the church even this week, and I'll give you more. But yeah, anyway, now here's something. If anybody knows someone, Joe, I need your help. That's your name just popped. I found out they're shooting fireworks off on July 3rd in Mount Airy. Well, guess what? They said they're allowing like tents to be set up during the day before the fireworks. If we could get a tent there, man, we can pass out hundreds of invitations to Vacation Bible School on July 3rd, if you can help me with that. Hate to put you on the spot.
For a minute there, I thought you were going to say, and we get to shoot fireworks.
Yeah. Hey. You would love that. I know you could. But I'm excited. This is a carnival theme, so we're doing everything outside this year, Lord willing, weather pending. We're gonna be prepared to come inside if the lightning gets too bad. So pray about that. But anyway, our next workshop is Thursday, July 8th. But now everybody just start inviting. Get the kids here. So before Chris prays, Mike, I need your help. That song that we just sang, and even as we conclude the service today in prayer, would you mind, let us sing just the old doxology that we're used to, a cappella, okay? Let's sing the old doxology, and then Chris, we'll go right in and pray after the doxology, okay? And then the service will be concluded,
okay? You have to have
the
words. I don't know if I remember
the old
what?
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, Heavenly Ghost. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so humble, Lord, to be able to bow before you. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We honor you. Lord, we thank you so much for sending your Son to die for us on the cross, that we could have eternal life. Lord, we look forward to that day that you come and take us home. And Lord, until then, I pray that you would empower us, Lord, to go forth from these doors, Lord, into the mission field to serve you, to reach others for you, to tell people about your marvelous love, your marvelous gift of eternal life. Lord, thank you for the service. Thank you for speaking to our hearts today, Lord. And we just give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.